There you go. You know, we have some rock star moms in this church. I don't know if you know, there's some pretty impressive humans here. Estelle over here, she'll just set you on fire for nothing. You just walk past her and she'll pray over you and then your day's ruined. You'll find Ruth over there. Where's Ruth? I mean, doesn't she just lead us so beautifully? Like right away, this church is full of incredible moms. And I want to honor you, Mike. This week, I got left with the kids. My wife went because she's like taking over the world slowly. And she got put on this thing called Trigger, which is like they take all the entrepreneurs they want to scale and like take to the next level. And they want to put a Kanisa into every city. So basically, I'll carry her books and bags around. But anyway, she went away and left me with three kids. I just want to say to you moms who handle all of that, I think we should call you sir. That's just how it is. Or I don't know how you put up with them. Anyway, thank you, moms, you rock stars. But today I'm wrapping up this series, and if you've missed this Happiness Project series, there's a book called The Happiness Project. We took absolutely nothing from the book, but it is quite interesting to read. But we have preached on four things. So we said, if you want to live happy, you need to live in the energy that God pours into us by His Holy Spirit. And then we said, in the second week, we said, if you want to live happy, you need to live knowing that you are called now here. That one had everybody sad. But anyway, that was week two. In week three, we said that if you want to live happy, you have to see the world through God's eyes so that you can know the season we're in, and what to do. And then last week, we spoke about wonder and awe. Wasn't it awesome? Just wow, God. Today, I'm supposed to preach on thanksgiving. Because if you want to live happy, you need to live with thanksgiving flowing out of your mouth. But I'm not preaching on that. So in order to do justice to that preach, just turn to someone and say five things you are thankful for right now. Go. There we go. Hugs everywhere. Happiness. You see, it makes you happy. End of preaching, you're home. Now, well done. You can finish. I know there are more than five. I just want to say, look at this lady and how she is dressed. If you can see her, that is unbelievable. Your dress, ma'am, is making me happy. You're looking at your phone, but she's on her phone. She'll come back. She'll come back. Gratitude. Just now. It's going to be amusing when just now kicks in. Today I want to talk about power. Talk. I went surfing with a mate and this, like, we've been mates for a long time, so I haven't said anything nice to him for a long time, which then you know you're good mates. But he's short, he's kind of ugly, but he's very strong, very, very strong. Very short arms, like a T-Rex, but he's very strong. And so I go surfing with him, and he starts paddling for the waves. And with every stroke, he's got so much power that his board goes from this direction to that direction. Then he paddles this way, it goes that direction. So I'm paddling up to him, and I said to him, but the reason you can't catch any waves is you got too much torque. There's just too much power. You need to reduce the torque and increase the speed. Reduce torque, increase speed. We'll go straight line. We'll be okay. And I said it. I said, I'm going to call you Torque from now on. And then I started thinking about torque. I'm saying the word talk. Every Indian man's lights are shining right now. You think I'm talking low end, eh? Talk is the force to turn something. It's the power, the grunt that you need to pull something really heavy or to get yourself through resistance. Talk. I had this absolute privilege yesterday. It was my boy's birthday party, and so one of my mates phoned me up. He said, I'm going to take your boy and a friend jet skiing, and he can jump off the jet ski on a board and catch the waves. So off we go jet skiing, and it's amazing. I mean, let's face it, if you can give your kids experiences, you're winning. So we go on this jet ski, and out we go, and the one kid is terrified. My son, fortunately, has been in the sea a bit, so he's quite amped. And anyway, he gets on the side of the jet ski, and my friend races along the wave. And then, now these are bigger waves than my son would ever face. But now he's on the jet ski, so he doesn't really know. So anyway, he jumps onto the wave, like he literally goes like this from the jet ski. I just see him, boom, boom, boom. And then he's flying, so he catches the one wave. And I can see his eyes, they're like this big. And he's just, "Dad, this is incredible." And then he did it again and again and again. And I thought, this is just, what a gift, so cool. But on the way to do the jet ski thing, my mate, who's very experienced, decides, no, he's going to take his car and he's going to take it on the beach and then he's going to reverse it at an angle. But what he doesn't know is how soft the sand is. And so he starts reversing, he's got momentum, but when you get the resistance of the sand, you will lose your momentum and you got stuck. Now, it's all right because some guys came along, we pushed it out. But here's the big idea. It doesn't matter how much momentum you have. If you put yourself in an environment of resistance, it will run out. It doesn't matter how happy you wake up in the morning. If you work next to Debbie Downer by lunchtime, I hope there's no one called Debbie here. You know what this is like. It doesn't matter how good your marriage has been. If you break trust, it doesn't matter how well your business did during and before COVID. If you haven't shifted strategies, you know this. It is so easy to lose momentum. And when you lose momentum, you need torque. You need power to get back out. Now, I'm so utterly convinced that Christians at the moment are trying to live on momentum and habits and a whole bunch of other things, and they're missing power. You see, the beauty of the Holy Spirit, the beauty of the Christian life, is that you don't live momentum to momentum. You don't live because you drive on tar. You don't live from blessing to blessing to blessing, and it just keeps going right and keeps going right and keeps going right. If that's the Christianity you think you know, you're in for so much pain. Because Christianity is about the torque to get through resistance. It's about the power of the Holy Spirit working in you to get through seasons that are so tough that other people can't make it. That's the message of Christianity. And so today, we're going to dive into the power of the Holy Spirit. And at the end of today, I'm going to pray for people to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because I want to shift us from doing well-designed life to doing empowered life. So I'm going to read a text, and I'm going to show you a few principles. And basically, I want you to have an experience at the end of the service of power coming on your life. You're right. If some of you got very scared, don't worry, not the freaky church. We will keep you alive. We'll walk you through this gently. I'm preaching from a Kindle because my laptop's needs to go to the hospital, so I can read every second word. If you turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 10, it starts like this. In Caesarea, there lived a Roman army officer named Cornelius, who was a captain of the Italian regiment. He was a devout, God-fearing man, as was everyone in his household. He gave generously to the poor and prayed regularly to God. One afternoon, about 3 o'clock, he had a vision in which he saw an angel of God coming towards him. "Cornelius," the angel said. Cornelius stared at him in terror. I love those words. I love that every time people see an angel, they're terrified. It's beautiful. "What is it, sir?" he asked the angel. And the angel replied, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have been received by God as an offering. Now send some men to Joppa and summon a man named Simon Peter. He is staying with Simon a tanner who lives near the seashore." You know those non-Christian people that everybody says, how can they be so nice? Surely they're Christians. You know those non-Christian people, that you've said this. They are too nice not to be Christians. You know, that person, that's Cornelius. Cornelius is a religious guy, but he's such a good guy. He's generous to a fault. He's seeking God, but all he knows is Judaism. He doesn't know Jesus. But God sees him. God sees his generosity. I just want to say to some of you, you have been sowing and giving and doing stuff behind scenes nobody knows about, but God sees. Don't think that because you haven't, it hasn't resulted in anything, don't think God doesn't see. In due season, the scripture says, you will produce a reward of righteousness. He will put his spirit into you to do good things. He will release power inside of you. God sees. He's looking. So Cornelius, the religious good guy, he has this meeting with an angel because God's seen him, but God has to now prepare him. So the angel comes up to this guy. Now remember, he's an important man. He's a Roman centurion, which means that he reports to important people and he has important people reporting to him. He is in the top echelon of importance. The trouble with being important is that when you're important, there are people you listen to and people you don't. And the trouble with God is he keeps using the people you don't to speak to you. This is an important man. But God's about to set him up with a Jewish fisherman. Now, in terms of importance, Jewish fisherman hits about the bottom of the barrel. Roman centurions don't listen to Jewish fishermen. But whilst God is preparing Cornelius, he also has to prepare Peter. God's little ambidextrous. You know how God works? He's always like working on one person with his left hand and another person with his right hand. But he has to prepare Peter as well, because Peter's a racist. I don't know if you know this, but Peter was hectic. So you got Peter the racist, Cornelius the important, and God's preparing both of them at the same time for a miracle that is still playing out today. I don't know if you've ever wondered, you ever thought to yourself, I know God's doing something, but you're always taking a long time. Sometimes it's because you are so darn difficult to prepare. And sometimes, Stevie, it's because the wife, God's working on her. He's been working on her for 50 years. It's going to happen, buddy. God is preparing. He's preparing. See, at the same time, God gives Peter a vision. And it's a vision of a whole bunch of animals that Peter wouldn't touch with a barge pole because he's Jewish. And the Jewish thinking is that they're clean animals and unclean animals. And he hears this voice of God say in this vision, take and eat. And he goes, not a chance, God, I'm not going to take and eat. And God says, don't call unclean what I've made clean. Weird vision. Peter doesn't know what the heck that means. And then the Holy Spirit says, there are three dudes coming to see you. And Peter, then it says, goes down to meet them. I wonder where I am on my notes. I'll find it eventually. Give me some scripture up there. It'll save me. They arrived in Caesarea the following day from Joppa. Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. Okay, whoa, let's backtrack. There's a scripture somewhere. Peter comes down, sees the guys. He says, I'm the dude you're looking for. What do you want? A little paraphrased. And so they say, this is what happened to our master Cornelius. He saw an angel. The angel said, go fetch you. So Peter says, okay, let's sleep. They sleep that night. The next day they walk. Then, 24, you can get you. They arrived in Caesarea the following day. Now remember, this is day 3. Day 1, the dudes are walking to Peter. Day 2, they're walking back. This is day 3. They arrived in Caesarea the following day. Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered his home, Cornelius fell at his feet and worshipped him. Now, let me tell you why this is amazing. Romans don't listen to Jewish fishermen. Roman centurions definitely don't. But God had to take them both, and he had to humble them. You know how God prepares us? Humility. See, humility is an amazing thing. Because humility will take systemic mindsets about who Gentiles are, and that God doesn't love them, they're not the chosen people, and that they're actually dogs, and all of the pain of my family and my parents' family and how the Romans have absolutely abused us. Humility will take all of that and put it on the side and go, I've got something for you for a Roman centurion. Humility will enable you to access God from the most strange places in the world. So what God has actually done is he's brought Cornelius to his knees in front of a Jewish fisherman. Humility. And he's brought Peter, who would never dream of stepping into a Gentile house, through the door. Humility. Now, if you want what God has for you, humility. The reason this is so important is there's an outpouring of the Spirit in this scripture. And this is the thing I felt from God. So many of us have a picture from our past about what the Holy Spirit is and does in our lives. And I feel like if you do not expect him to do something new and different, you will limit him. You know that every generation that experiences a revival, pretty much everyone from that generation rejects the next revival because it's not like the last one. I believe the Holy Spirit's going to be doing something over the next season in our church. But humility is required. We have to humble ourselves and go, God, however it comes, whatever you want to do, whoever it comes from, I'm open. So Peter comes. This guy's worshiping. But Peter pulled him up and said, stand up. I'm a human being just like you. So they talked together and went inside where many others were assembled. Keep going. Next verse. There we go. Then Peter replied. So they have a little chat. What's going on here? We needed you. We saw the angel. Same conversation. Then Peter replied, I see very clearly that God shows no favoritism. I'm going to just pause. Remember, these guys have walked all the way to him. He's got the vision on the same day. They've slept over. He's walked all the way back. You know why God often takes so long? It's because it often takes us so long to work out what the heck he's doing. By the moment Peter has this conversation, he has worked out what God's doing. He's showing no favoritism. He goes, in every nation, he accepts those who fear him and do what is right. You know how hard this is for him to say? This is like Nelson Mandela going, we forgive the white people. That's what's going on right now. And then he says, this is the message of good news for the people of Israel, that there is peace with God through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. Keep going. You know what happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after John began preaching his message of baptism. And you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Last verse. And we apostles are witnesses of all he did throughout Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him to life on the third day. Then God allowed him to appear. Sorry, not last verse, keep going. Not to the general public, but to us, the apostles, whom God had chosen in advance to be his witnesses. So all the people who were following him, the ascended Jesus, the Jesus who was resurrected, appeared to them. We were those who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he ordered us to preach everywhere and to testify that Jesus is the one appointed by God to be the judge of all, the living and the dead. He is the one all the prophets testified about, saying that everyone who believes in him will have their sins forgiven through his name. The Gentiles received the Holy Spirit. Even as Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who were listening to the message.
You know how hard it is for a preacher to stop preaching? Peter is preaching, and whilst he's speaking, these dudes all start praying in tongues. It's mighty disrespectful of the Holy Spirit to make that happen. I want to pull a few things out of this. Firstly, Corny invites a whole bunch of people there. He's got his servants and his slaves. He's got the nobodies. He's got some randoms there. He has probably some soldier mates. He's got some importance there. He's got skeptics. I'm telling you, there were some people there who are going like, this is weird, but Corny, because you're here, I'll come once. Like some of you in church right now. I get it. There's all kinds of people in the room. And the reason I tell you that, because there is nobody who can be disqualified by their history, position, race, situation, who can be disqualified by what you did yesterday to be filled the Holy Spirit. He fills everyone in the room. There would have been soldiers there who had murdered and raped. There would have been people with demons in there. There would have been a whole spectrum. And you have to know, starting place, God shows no favoritism. He falls on all those he chooses. So he says four kind of things. And the first thing he says is, God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power, and he went about doing good deeds, healing the sick, casting out devils. You need to understand that when Jesus ministered on this earth, he did not minister as God. Though he was positioned as God, he gave up his rights as God. And so the only way he could minister was by relying on the power and leading of the Holy Spirit to minister. It's quite important that you do that. Otherwise, you'll look at Jesus and go, well, he was God. I can't do that. He's God. You got it. When you start to understand this, then you start to go, well, maybe he can use me too. You know, this last week, my wife was at this trigger thing, and it was Christians. So Bones has been on it, and so they're like these high-powered, very wealthy people, and then amongst them are some prophetic guys. So the one prophetic guy goes up to her, and he says, man, God has called you to heal people, and the gift of healing is coming upon you. Prophesies. My wife feels like this energy in her body. The next thing, a lady says, I have arthritis. Will you pray for me? So Ames goes up to her. Now, my wife is full of faith. So she goes charging up to her. She says, what can't you move? And I think the lady couldn't open her hands and she couldn't move something else. And so my wife says, in the name of Jesus Christ, be healed. The lady literally, she says, there's just heat everywhere. She literally goes like this. Healing. There are some of you that God has called to heal and restore and cast out and set free. And the only way you're going to do it is by the power of the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that rested on Jesus. You're called to minister from. Some of you, by now you should be teachers. And we're still going around the mountain of milk. And you've disqualified yourself because of your stupid habit and your stupid sin. And I want you to know that God has no favorites, and he can land on a Roman soldier who's probably killed and murdered and raped and fill him with the Holy Spirit to make power. And he wants to touch some of you again. So he says, firstly, Jesus went about doing good works by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then he says, Jesus was killed on a cross for your sin. Second point. Third point, he hung around with us after he got raised up from the dead. And fourth point, he then went to heaven, but he's coming back to judge the living and the dead. He preaches the gospel. As he's finishing preaching the gospel, they get filled with the Holy Spirit. Why? What was the thing that made them get filled? They must have done something. Here's what they did. They believed the message. Why is this important? Because you cannot be filled with the Holy Spirit if you do not believe that message. And you have every access to the Holy Spirit if you do. Now, if we're going to see people filled with the Holy Spirit, here's what you've got to know. You've got to know that you can't be disqualified by what you did yesterday. You are only qualified by believing the message. He died for your sin. He's resurrected from the dead like you're going to be. He's coming back to judge the earth. He's ascended to heaven. You believe that, power gets released. Okay? Important. Because I have watched so many people come up to me for prayer and go, Ross, I'm really, really bad. And I think to myself, you're probably worse than you think. Thank you, Lord, that you don't fill people up with the Holy Spirit because of how good the person is. Because you all suck. Me too. You're filled by His grace, His cross, believing His message, nothing else. You know, there was a girl in our church who last week, she was going through some emotional pain. And so she starts crying out to God in the middle of the night. She's weeping and crying out to God. Now, doesn't have a strong faith, just starting this journey off. As she's crying out during the night, she gets flooded with the Holy Spirit in her bedroom. She couldn't work out what was going on. But she felt that power and grace on her life. And she went to her boyfriend afterwards. She said, I'm just so happy. I can feel the love and grace of God on me. It's just power. I need to tell everyone, you need this. He's a Spirit-filled guy. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, Grumpy. Like, it's just anyone by believing. Last thought. The power is for a purpose. Now, I've watched the church in general get more and more consumeristic over the years. So what we do is we come to church on Sunday to get a warm and fuzzy, a little bit of inspiration. Preacher, please inspire me. And then we go home and we run out of spirit by Tuesday and we're a nightmare by Wednesday, and by Thursday we almost killed the kids. That's just what happens. And then we're like, by Saturday we're like, one too many drinks, come back to church. And like, we just go through then, watch Netflix all weekend. Like, this is what's happening. So we're consumeristic. The power of the Holy Spirit is not for you to survive life. It is for you to be about His kingdom. It's to shift you. So don't keep coming to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that you can just survive life. It's like dumb. You will run out by Tuesday. Some of you by lunchtime today. Like, it is. You're meant. And I want to say this especially to people who've lost all their momentum. Part of why you've lost your momentum is you're trying to get the Holy Spirit to fill you up so that you can keep doing the things you've been doing. And God wants to fill you up with the Holy Spirit to change tack so that you'll be about the kingdom. Because there's some oak at church at work that you need to pray for, and there's someone in your family that you need to set free, and there's someone who needs to hear the gospel out of your mouth. God empowers the kingdom, and even though you're so terrified, here's what He promises. He says, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you will get boldness. And the word boldness is the word dunamos, and it means dynamite. Now, here's what's going to happen. I know this. I remember the first time I prayed, Lord, give me dynamite to tell someone about Jesus. I said, God, send me someone. I was cleaning my car. A guy walked past, asked for water. I ignored him because God couldn't have sent him. Then off you walked. The oak disappeared. Because I know this, because God said to me afterwards, I sent you a guy. And I ran. He was gone. Next oak came, asked for water. It was just that day. God was just sending. It's like the water giver. I came along. He got so preached at. That oak doesn't know what happened to him. God will anoint you with power. He'll anoint introverts and He'll anoint the mass extroverts. He'll anoint even the colored people who are full of chaos. He'll anoint every single person if you believe the message and you redirect your life to be about His. And so here's what I'm praying today. I'm praying that He'll do it again. That we'll have a little what happened in Corny's house. That as we start to sing and worship and pray, Holy Spirit, fill me, that you'll experience dunamis. I'm praying that God does stuff that makes you feel uncomfortable. Please don't fall over because that's what you do. That's annoying. Don't scream because that's what you do. In this church, if you scream, I will trust that it was a genuine release, either of a demonic stronghold or pain. If you fall over, we'll trust that it's really authentic, because if you force it, it's just annoying. But here's the thing, you can expect the power of God if you believe the message. And some of you are going to be touched powerfully as we sing the song. Others of you, you're going to be like my wife, who, like, she has delayed reactions. She got prayed for to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and 2 days later in the morning, she got the reaction, started laughing. But lots of you came hungry. You're stuck. The momentum's gone. Some kids here. I'm trusting power comes. The people, honestly, I just want to say this. You're going to see in our church people get delivered again and again. Sometimes it's just that demonic thoughts have so wrapped up their brain and God's pulling them out. And sometimes it is demonic activity. And I know that'll freak you out, but man, you'll believe in Jesus after that. And it may happen to you. And I just want you to know, it happens to me from time to time. Stuff like gets on me and I need it prayed off me. So don't get freaked out by that. But expect now. So we're going to stand. Can we stand? Okay, I want you to just lift your hands. And just pray this in your heart. Jesus, please fill me with your Holy Spirit. Thank you that your death on the cross is for my forgiveness. So I'm coming holy to a holy God. And I ask you, holy God, to pour out your Holy Spirit into my life to give me power for your kingdom. Get me unstuck. Now you're going to sing. But as you're singing, often what I do is I just keep my eyes closed and I just wait. Because he who waits on the Lord will renew his strength. There'll be a sense of the Holy Spirit moving. And afterwards, we'll close the meeting. And if you want to be prayed for to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you can stay around to be prayed for, okay? Let's worship.
Said of you, there is power in that person's life. God bless you.